Hey, got the morning show with Aaron and John's still here. Welcome back, John.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about, basically what happened on Sunday was a community celebration. It was obviously also a national one, but the event that happened on Sunday evening was a nicely timed community event, bringing people together and sort of just celebrating the fact that we're all together in this place.
And if people weren't there, there's a video of it on Raglan Community Radio's Facebook page and probably a few other places as well.
Am I in that video?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Never mind. John said we should talk about some history. So I thought, okay, what other kind of celebrations and events and ways did our community used to have to come together? And I mean, the biggest difference with Matariki obviously is the, well, how do you describe it? Bringing into the mainstream Maori culture, yep. I guess, and or not bringing it in, but letting it become part of the mainstream,
yeah, or it's just for becoming. Best part of a couple of centuries, we've only concerned ourselves with European traditions, and
yes,
that's why we have bonfire night and things like that. But
yeah, yeah. Although we did have a Matariki celebration a few years ago, which was a bonfire over. Just across on the spit there.
Yeah, so maybe we'll evolve to that as well.
Yeah. So, but the thing that's really interesting, as John said, though very Eurocentric, and in fact, we've got some articles here, is this one from 1862, and the very first one, John, and the...
I'm not sure that was the first one, because it says held their gala day, as if there was always a gala day been happening.
I'm saying, so, is it the first article,
yeah,
that you've got? So, and to be honest, the racism in it, sort of casual, very comfortable with it racism, would make your hair stand on end. But the things they used to do, it says on the 27th of last month, so that must have been January, if this article's from... it must have been December if this article's from January. Marine amateurs in the settlement held their gala day. The wind was high enough to test severely the storm qualities of the various craft, and the weather sufficiently promising to draw to the township a strong muster from the surrounding farms. There were three boat races, a sailing race, something with the flat bottom boats, a two oared race, and yeah, flat bottom boats. Yeah, so there's lots of namings of who won and who got this and that. And I noticed, I'm not sure it's this article, no, it was the next one, where they would name who won, or, you know, who was first, second, and third. They would have their names if they were Pākehā or European, but they were just referred to as a Māori, if a Māori person raced and got a prize. So,
and that applied in the media for a long time, in the press for a long time.
Did that stop, John? You've read a lot of these
probably quite recently, I think, because there were occasional mention of people's names, and quite often they got them wrong as well, so that didn't help. And I think maybe the fear of getting them wrong led them to just call them Maori or Native or whatever.
Okay. So, all right.
And it's the same in the accounts of the wars. So you have a list of the European dead, but you don't have a list of the Maori dead. And it's the same in all sorts of accounts that they were obviously not at all familiar. Probably many of them didn't speak Tiriel, though there were some good translators, but probably fairly few and far between, and not people who wrote the newspapers. Because this newspaper is the Southern Cross, and the Southern Cross was set up in opposition to the New Zealander. The New Zealander was against having a war, and the Southern Cross was in support of having a war and taking the land in Waikato.
Okay.
So, you know, this is it's the newspaper that the Daily Herald, or the New Zealand Herald, rather, took over eventually. So it's moved into the New Zealand Herald, which is towards the right of New Zealand politics.
It certainly represents the conservative establishment viewpoint on a lot of things. So this is why they were trying to create the conservative establishment, I guess.
Yeah, that's what it was about. They were trying to make sure that Britain supported their war and sent the troops. Yeah, and that was the objective of setting up the newspaper, and the New Zealander lost its support fairly quickly and folded, and the Southern Cross carried on, as did the New Zealand Herald. So.
Oh, right. Okay. I'll read a little bit more just to give it a flavour of it. The Māoris fraternised in foot racing and sack racing, but they one and all disliked the constraint of the latter, the sack racing, pronouncing the motion to be kino, or unpleasant, it says in brackets. Our colonial youth seemed to manifest a strong taste for boating. And from the extent of our sea line and the numerous snug little harbours which exist, one may expect a race of daring seamen calculated to make our sea-girt islands the Britain of the South. Sea-girt islands? G-I-R-T, John? You know what that word means?
Both surrounded, yes.
Okay. I was like girt, like girth.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So that was the 1850s. So anyway, I guess the way that the community came together as it did, and then was around boat races. That was a reason to bring people to town.
Well, boat races and horse races seemed to be the thing that happened in the carnival for quite a long time.
Yeah. And they talk about it became an annual regatta, the New Year's festivities, all depending on the wind, of course, and the committee had to decide whether they were weather dependent, whether the wind was good enough to have the event or not, and which was for the people who are coming from out of town, because people just walked in from the farmland all around Whangaroa then to come to these community events, and so they would turn up and discover that the wind was not strong enough and the boat races weren't happening.
And it was raining.
That it was raining, yeah. But this is all around New Year's. And this report I'm just scanning through right now, the Daily Southern Cross, 8th of January, 1867. This is really early.
Yeah, well, it seems to have carried on every year and became quite a horse race at one stage. And then it was summed up in the centennial booklet that was produced to mark the centenary of the Treaty of Waitangi in 1940. And they said that readers will be interested in the photograph of the Raglan Regatta of 1896 showing a fleet of sailing boats in a race. The regatta is still carried on by the Carnival Club, which was formed in August 1912. The late Mr. A.R. Langley was the first president, and Mr. S.J. Rawlinson of Ohopo the first secretary, and still doing great work for Raglan, and each New Year's Day sees an influx of several thousand visitors to view the speedboat races, the white wings of sailing craft having almost entirely disappeared. So that gives a sort of quick summary of what had happened in the previous 80 years or so at that stage.
So what did Raglan, we haven't got photos from the 1860s, do we?
Not of the quite. Carnival. There were quite a lot of carnival photos taken in the 1911 carnival. So one of those is on our Facebook page, Raglan Community Radio Facebook page, showing somebody on a greasy boom.
Right.
So trying to get as far as they can along the spar that was sticking out the front of a boat before they fell off it into the water.
I'm just trying to imagine what the town was like at that point. Like, there must have just been a few houses sporadically around the place. Most of the lots still empty at that point?
Yes. There are quite a lot of old photos in various places, including the National Library website, and they show a whole cluster of houses around Bow Street and that sort of area, Cliff Street. Cliff Street was the first area to develop, but then they were soon also going up the hill, so one of the 1911 photo shows a couple of houses up the top of a hill near where the water tower is.
But we're talking about 1860s here, aren't we? So
yeah, well, it, as I say, it carried on. It seems to have fizzled out in the 1950s, but I haven't actually found a date for that. There are some records in the museum of the minutes of the 1950s and the carnival at that stage.
So the article that I'm talking about, I'm looking at here, talking about the community events that were happening around New Year's, they tend to talk about three categories of people, which is Māori people, settlers, and military. So I think there was a regiment, the 57th Regiment, it says here, stationed here, and there was a rifle match between military and the settlers. There was a swimming match. with a strong tide, which apparently was a trial for some. The natives, who seemed to vie with the Pākehā in the enjoyment of these sports, went through several songs and dances to the gratification of a large and no doubt highly appreciating audience. I'm reading directly from the text here, folks. I'm trying to imagine what the community event is like there. And we're talking about, like, were the land wars, had they started in the 1860s, John?
Well, the build-up to them was during the early 1860s, and then the actual war started in 1863 with the invasion of the Waikato.
So, and I'm looking at an article from 1867. So they're having this community day. There is a regiment stationed in Raglan, but people from all races are still coming to the community day.
Yeah, because Raglan was one of the main supply points for the war. So as the war moved further down the Waikato River, the ships came into Raglan and the soldiers and their equipment were marched over the old mountain road to go to the battlefront.
Okay.
So Raglan had that status, and then when the war was over, it's reverted back to being just a small seaside village again.
So with that context, it says, in conclusion, it may be stated that throughout the day the utmost good fellowship prevailed, and that the committee were untiring in their exertions to promote the enjoyment of the company. It talks about the clerk of the course, so they must be talking about the horse race there. In the evening, they had a grand dinner and ball that was in the Royal Hotel. So is that a hotel built around on Cliff Street, John?
Yes, that's pretty much where Orca is at the moment.
The guests, to the number of about 50, sat down to a sumptuous repast served in Mr. Graham's best style. So that number kind of gives you an idea of the size of the community, I guess.
Yes. but people also came in as visitors, so there were some more adventurous visitors who got on ships and actually came to join in more so later on. So later on they talk about excursions being organised by the Northern Steamship from places like Waitara. So a group of people came up from New Plymouth and Waitara for one of the New Year's carnival days. But often it wasn't just one day, it would go on for two or three days, so it would spread over quite a period and there would be different events on different days. And it's interesting to look at some of the lists of the things which were done. So there were all sorts of races, 130 yards, 100 yards, 500 yards, all the various sprints that were on. The bandsman's race, I'm not quite sure whether they were playing their instruments at the time or quite what that was, but a maiden chop. I think that was a wood cutting competition.
Yep.
Handicap, sack race, as you've mentioned, the high jump. Mile handicap, open handicap, ladies bracelet. I'm not quite sure what a ladies bracelet would be.
But no clues. Just no clues of what that means.
Maybe that was a sort of three-legged race or something.
I'm presuming that the woman didn't participate that much in the physical in the racing, did they? Or was that a time when they did?
Well, it looks as though they did in this one. So presumably, generally, the older women probably didn't, but probably the younger ones would have done. It was a period before women's emancipation, so women would have known their place and kept to it largely.
Yeah, that's like, this is sticky reading because the
racism and sexism.
Yeah, it's just so inherent in it. But it was what it was, and we're just trying to learn a bit about the past. That after I talked about how they had dinner at the Royal Hotel, and then they had there was a large concert room recently erected by the proprietor. This is the 1860s.
But the women did take part in something. So it was a prize list of cut flowers, and all the lists of people in there are Mrs. or Miss whoever. So a collection of roses, three roses, championship rose, three carnations, six carnations, larkspurs, gladioli, lilies, pansies, phlox, poppies, stocks, peas, Sweet William, Mignonette, and Geraniums, Pelargoniums, Annuals, Collection of Cut Flowers, Basket of Flowers, Vase of Flowers, Epergne of Flowers. I'm not sure what an epergne is. Maybe you can help me with the French translation.
Me? Okay. I don't know much about flowers and I don't know much about French. I think I'd be the last person. Have you got a long list there, John?
Yeah, it's quite a long list. I'm just picking out some of the ones which seem more interested. A go-kart or perambulator prize as well. So presumably you fill your pram with flowers and not quite sure whether you run with it or just show it.
Yeah, this is actually, most of this is already new to me. You're talking about the flowers, and there was lighting and other arrangements, says this article. And I'll read the words again because the language is so different to how we talk now. The lighting and other arrangements were, as far as possible, perfect. The welcome, welcome, all heartily welcome everyone. There was a sign. Truthfully expressed the sentiments of the hosts. And such was thoroughly accredited by the guests. And speaking of the decorations, one motto must not be omitted. The motto, Advance Raglan, plainly told everyone present their obligation to promote by every means in their power the prosperity of the district in which they had cast their lot.
Yeah, and I also find it interesting to look at, for example, the list of fruit prizes, because at that time Raglan was actually exporting fruit, so the lists of things on the ships quite often included crates of fruit that were being exported from Raglan, and they've got strawberries, plums, apricots, lemons, walnuts and loganberries down as things that people got prizes for in those days.
I want to finish, John and I are jumping around here because we're looking at different bits of the page.
Yeah, we could go on for the whole day looking at these. But
the regatta events, they got into the dancing at 9 o'clock, varied by a game of romps for the special delectation of the juniors, although young and old joined that apparently. It was continued with unabated energy till almost daybreak when the company began to disperse. So they partied all night, John, in 1867.
Well, there was a 1935 advert that said 8 p.m. till 2 a.m. novelty dances, streamers, balloons, confetti, paper hats, good supper, good floor. First-class music by males, melody makers from Hamilton. Admission, ladies, 2 shillings. Gentlemen, 3 shillings. Which maybe shows the difference in pay in those days as well.
So that's what they did back then. There was.
And there also a monster picnic at Horia Bay. Swimming, diving, running events. A trip on a launch, a carnival queen. Carnival queen quite often featured in the carnival. So you'd select a queen and crown the queen. Later on they also had loud speakers in the streets and arranged music in the streets. So rather like the Matariki, I suppose, there was music in the street there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing to do. Like, you throw the cars out and get the people in. They didn't have so many cars back then, of course. You just went into the street. I think you didn't need to, like, fence it off or anything. So what year are you talking about there, John?
That was 1935. But, yeah, and there's a photo in 1911 of people wandering all over the street.
Yeah, that's quite a famous photo. It makes Raglan look slightly busy. But I imagine that was a day when people came from all around the rural area to
including those steamship excursions that brought people from Auckland and from Waitara and New Plymouth. Yeah.
And so I've just dived into another article here from, I think it was from 1907, talking about on Boxing Day there was the usual hack race meeting on the Ruapuki Beach, which I presume is a horse race.
Yep.
There was a good attendance from people from the neighbouring districts and some excellent sport was provided. The principal event, the Cup, fell to Mr. C. Swan's Diner, and the same owner, Shamrock, annexed one of the pony races. Mr. D. McCracken won a couple of races with Mahuta and Tasman. That must be the horse names. And Mr. R. J. Nicholson scored a double win with Nell. Miss Ward and Mr. J. Phillips won race each with Monday and Rangipai, respectively. So there you go, people and their horses, 1907, racing on Ruapuki Beach.
Yep, and those 1950 minutes that I talked about, they're in the museum. There's some press cuttings in there and One of them says, I found it very interesting to read Mrs. C. Stevens, that's Connie Stevens, who used to run the bakery, account of the Ragland camping ground. It seems hard to believe that a public body like the Corporate Domain Board would spend public money on camping site improvements only, when the money raised was definitely part of for part of that area to be a sports ground. So they're complaining that the money was being used to improve the sewage at the campground rather than improve the what's now, I suppose, the soccer field.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of controversial history around that.
I think that's when the carnival broke up, because people felt that the council and its subcommittees was taking the money and not using it for the sports that they'd mainly raised it for, because the money was used back in the 1920s to reclaim what's now the rugby grounds, and that they were describing it as a tea tree swamp.
Yeah, the water used to go, like, the water could go all the way through where the rugby grounds are now.
Yeah, so they converted it from a tea tree swamp into a rugby ground.
Well, John, I see we've got to 10 o'clock. There is a whole story there about that as well. That piece of Papahua, the land of Papahua, has been, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's quite a lot of story with that.
Non-stop almost by what I'm picking up.
Until 1941, when they compulsorily purchased that area, there were quite a few people living in that area, and they had kids who went to the area school. They had talked about setting up a native school, actually, in that area, but they never got around to it.
Are you talking Papahua?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, right.
Well, Papahua to Kōpua, so the whole of that area. So the kids used to rely on the ferry to get across to the old school. And that the agreement seems to have been that the council would build a footbridge if they got given the land. So there was some pressure to make that so-called gift. As you say, that's a whole other story.
Yeah. Hey, folks, we have reached the end of the show for the day. I don't know whether that was enlightening or not. The language of the change in the language from about the 1860s to the early 1900s is quite significant. The language and the written language around 1900. Feels similar to ours, whereas the stuff from 1860 sounded so flowery, and which is just the way they talked then, like it wasn't.
Quite a lot of words have changed, which is why you haven't come across the word girt. But
So that's on the back of a new community celebration that happened as part of the first official Matariki weekend. We just decided to look at how the community came together in times past. We look back. Well, that's 150 years ago, isn't it, John?
Yeah, I think probably ought to make the point that carnivals are quite a bit different now compared with what carnivals used to be. So they're much more commercial.
So from what we were talking about off the air, it sounds like it was a thing that communities used to do, and they called it a carnival, and then it got commercialized, and now we think of a carnival as a slightly outdated commercial event that's not as good as what we do in modern times, but yeah, something different in actual fact. All right, John, thanks for your time. Okay, and you're on the air tonight, I take it?
Yep.
7 o'clock? No, 6 o'clock.
So, yeah, there's some good interviews you've done in previous weeks, which I'm going to try and catch up on, which I've not had time to play up till now. So.
Okay, but you also do some highly detailed local news as well, don't you?
Yeah, some of the other things that we've been talking about in a bit more detail. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, John, thanks for your time. All right, folks, end of the show for the day. Hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll be back again tomorrow morning.